ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to another episode of Tuning the Boat. And it is a special episode. Well, about as special as you can get. Tim and I have been at a conference focused on missions, and it has been absolutely wonderful to be a part of. And we're currently sitting across from each other, staring at each other. It's a little weird as we record. But before we get into it, Tim, how have you been doing?
Man, it's been fantastic. You know, Matt, you have gotten to enjoy what it is life like in Odessa, what it is to be part of the Rose family, because we really haven't changed anything about what we would have normally done at all. And we just said, here, come. So you attended a birthday party of one of our friends, because, you know, that's what you do when you have somebody in town. No, it's been a blast.
Got to participate in WrestleMania with the boys.
You did. You've gotten to see the fun side of our kids and the crying side of our kids. It's been good. And I agree with you. Conference was fantastic. Man, a lot to think on, a lot to, and a lot of good stuff given. You know, most of the time you go to conferences and you can't really bring any of it back, but everything from this conference is designed to come back with you. So that was really good.
Yeah. And just the amount of helpful things that I hadn't really thought about before, and to going to implement it into the mission trips in the future. So be on the lookout for, you know, both of our churches to be putting on some good mission trips here pretty soon. And just excited to really push forward and, you know, doing things differently, especially getting, you know, taking some of the things that we learned from the conference and pushing it forward into our churches. I'm very excited to see how the Lord will use that. And I just really appreciate Brandon Bales and his heart for student ministry and what he has planned for the coming years for the SBTC. I'm real excited to see where he takes it, the many high places he can go.
Yeah. I mean, and you know, for me, like, you know, we're sitting in a place in here at First Odessa that, like, man, I'm ready to go with students. We go on domestic trips already. And it was really cool how, like, both of those were available. Mm-hmm. I'm just, like, in this mode of, oh, boy, I have a bunch of phone calls and text messages to make because, you know, we're looking to go international next year. And yes, Brandon Bills always does a fantastic job of putting on things like that. I also really enjoyed we had a prayer gathering worship night, mm-hmm. Thursday night, and that was really good, you know. But Matt, how have you enjoyed life in the Rose household?
I mean, it's not like I'm a stranger to this place. We've been friends for almost 10 years now, and I've been a part of your marriage almost the entire time. But this time it's been nice to kind of see the parenting up front and impersonal. So it's more than just, oh, these are things that we talk about over a podcast, but more along the lines of, hey, this is real. This is, you know, living it out. And when we were at the prayer meeting, I tell this to everyone. I really love the sound of crying kids, and not in like a mean way, but just having families come together and really just, you know, be a part of the church service together, even at such a young age. That's something that my church does. We try to integrate our families as best that we can. And it's just been awesome, especially to see it with you and Mary and your boys, to see that still you have that passion for them to be a part of, you know, church in different ways. That's always really good. And that's kind of, you know, again, to bring Brandon back into it, that's kind of what he wants. He wants student ministries to thrive in churches. He wants families to be, you know, bring their whole family along. And that kind of goes into what we want to talk about. We want to raise families in our churches that love the Lord, and we want to make sure that point gets across. And now that kind of leads into our topic today. We want to make sure that we are raising families that love the Lord, but we also want to make sure that we're telling our students that that's what it want. We don't want it to get it lost in translation, so to say. And so, Tim, that's kind of where we're going to start off with. So Tim, can you explain a little bit more about that?
Yeah, you know, and part of the heart of this conversation, it comes from something from Richard Ross. If you don't know who Richard Ross is, we'll go back and listen to episode on Jesus is King, because we talk a lot about him there. But then I would just encourage you, you know, you can Google him and you'll figure it out pretty quickly. But Richard Ross, you know, he put forth a challenge, and it was a challenge that actually ended up teaching the entire youth group on a Sunday morning, because like all my teachers were out sick. And it worked out because one of our major high schools had prom the night before. And if you don't know what that means that there's no one in youth the next day. Oh, because everyone's sleeping in and just coming to main service. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I ask our students this question. Same question Dr. Ross put forth. And it was, your senior year, what would make your parents the happiest about you? And I asked this to our kiddos. There were 23 answers that came in. There were actually 26 answers that came in, but three were illegible. There's the word. Yes. So of the 23, zero said what I think most of the parents, or at least some of the parents, would have said, which is their relationship with Christ. Mm-hmm. The top answers were student academic success, student's athletic success, and students' moral success. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, maybe if you're a youth pastor listening to this, you say, well, my group's different. I'm sure it is. I'll just tell you, it was an incredibly representative sample of my group. Mm-hmm. It was not what I would say was like tilted towards the spiritually less mature. If anything, I think it had more of a spiritually mature tilt. And so what that shows to me is not like, oh, our students are terrible. What that shows, though, is that the message is getting lost. Yeah. And the message is quite simply that when I ask their parents say, man, their relationship with Christ is the most important. No parent, I think, really wants to raise their kid with this thought of the most important thing, the thing that will make me the most proud of you, is if you get out of high school with a diploma. I mean, none of us are saying that's a bad thing to do. Matt and I both have high school diplomas. Mm-hmm. But if that is the zenith of your parental happiness, I mean, that's a pretty low bar to put for your kid. That's a pretty sad bar to put for your kid.
And it's very earthly and worldly.
Yeah. And I say that as a kid from Oklahoma. I mean, if we can read normally, parents are already starting to get happy. Mm. But what it really tells me, like, I know in our church specifically, and I think this is almost any church, like, I know the pulpit's not saying that.
Yeah.
The pulpit's not teaching anybody, hey, just care about their academic, athletic, and moral success. Yeah. I know that their Sunday school teachers aren't teaching that. So what I think is happening, and what I postulate in this particular context, talking to you all as parents, I think what happens is we don't communicate what is most important in the way that the thing most important should be communicated. Mm-hmm. When I think about this, I think of Paul. And I think of Paul particularly in the letter to Corinth, which we call 1 Corinthians. Mm-hmm. If you've read the letter of 1 Corinthians, I'll give you just like the 100,000 foot view. There's a lot of issues in the church at Corinth. Mm-hmm. Paul is addressing these issues throughout the letter. And if you go read each kind of chapter/section, sometimes it's maybe more than one chapter, sometimes it's slightly less than a chapter. Paul, before he addresses the issue, continually reminds this church of the gospel. And we may go, well, yeah, because he's Paul, and he and Jesus, you know, sat down together and co-wrote this book. That's not actually how that worked. But we may think that. But I think what Paul shows is what he says then in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He says, for I delivered to you as of first importance that which I also received. Mm-hmm. See, I think Paul's reminding them each time because it's actually important. And this is, I think, the model that we need to begin to look at as parents is, you know, a question that I would ask you as parents is when you talk to your student, what do you talk more about? Their spiritual well-being, their academic success, their athletic success, or their moral success? When you talk to other parents in front of your student, what do you talk to them about more? Your student's spiritual success, moral success, athletic success, or academic success? When you ask them questions, when they get in the car and you're taking them home, if your students are of that age, what's the first question that comes out? Is it, what'd you learn in school today? I mean, I know it's a good question. I'm not even saying it's a bad question. What happens though if we change that? Hey, what opportunities did you have today to share the gospel? Or maybe even a better way that's slightly more general. How did you see God work today in school? Man, just open that up. The reason is that if we begin to communicate their spiritual life first and most often, then it shows them day after day that the most important thing is their spiritual life. Mm-hmm. If we communicate their academic life first and most often, then it should not shock us that 23 out of 23 go, well, yeah, graduating high school is the most important thing.
Yep.
Matt, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's, again, it's looking past the situation and the circumstance that we're in and having a view of what's farther down. I mean, because you have that verse where Proverbs says you need to train a child on the way they should go. And if you say that, you know, high school is the pinnacle of his existence, then that obviously doesn't train them for anything beyond that. So what I want to do is I want to spend some time looking at my favorite chapter in the Bible, not to say, oh, I'm so spiritual, but to take some time to look at Psalm 119. And I'm just going to go through the first couple verses because I want to kind of show kind of what it looks like to have kind of that outlook of looking past college or looking past high school into college and then beyond. And kind of what that idea looks like. So starting off with Psalm 19, verse 1. How happy are those whose way is blameless, who walk according to the Lord's instruction. Happy are those who keep his decrees and seek him with all their heart. These are not temporal things. These are not things that we have just a grasp on really easily. These are things that are learned. They're taught, but they're also caught. But in the same way, they're not something the regular person is going to have. How happy are those whose way is blameless, who walk according to the Lord's instruction? Doesn't always seem like a very happy thing to do, but it is. Happy are those, or in this context, it's also blessed. Blessed are those, or happy are those who keep his decrees, who seek them with all his heart. And it's something that we do. It is a, it's an action. It's an ongoing thing that we do. We seek the Lord with all of our heart. And it's something we learn where we have to be doing all the time, not necessarily a fun thing or an easy thing, but it is a necessary thing for us to do, especially if we claim to love Christ. And then verse 3, they do nothing wrong, they walk in his ways. Now, obviously, not the case. We all mess up. We all fall short. But I also want you to know that James talks about how in chapter 1, the various trials that we're put in, these things that God allows to happen in our life is so that our faith may have a foundation on relying on Christ, on depending on God for all of our things. And that is what makes us, as James says, perfect and complete, lacking nothing. And that idea of lacking nothing can also be seen as without failure. And this idea of being without failure and lacking nothing, it only comes through the power of the Holy Spirit in Christ, in these things. And so this is the foundation we have. And so then we move on to verse 4. You have commanded that your precepts be diligently kept. It is God's command that we keep his word. And again, all this isn't under the assumption that you're teaching your kids this. You're making your kids know this is what is important in life, not just this is what I want you to know, or this is what I think is good. You're communicating to your kids, this is good. And you're not just trying to say, hey, graduate, be a good person. This is good. God, it is God's command that we diligently keep his precepts, the things that he teaches us. And then in verse 5, if only my ways were committed to keeping your statutes. Because again, it's a hard thing to do. It's not always on our minds that we wake up this morning and go, oh boy, I can't wait to keep God's statutes. It doesn't happen. And we have to be reminded of ourselves that we need to do these things. And it just as equally important, you have to remind your students that these things are primary. Sports are not primary. Graduating is not a primary. Even being a good person isn't primary. The thing that is primary in our lives is the Word of God. And it's through us keeping God's Word that we show love back to God. Now, obviously, this is all under the pretense of salvation, because you can't earn your salvation through good works, but your good works are a result of salvation. You want to do these things. The writer of this psalm is probably King David, and he's writing in a way because he loves the Lord, and because he loves the Lord, he wants people to know that God loves those whose way is blameless, and his instruction is for those who love the Lord. People are happy because they love the Lord. They walk in his ways and want nothing else. And this is the kind of idea we need to be teaching to our students, to look past high school, look past college, the things that are temporal in this world, and look to the future and what God has for them.
Yeah. And, you know, and so I think one practical way, kind of boiling down of how we get to this, is, you know, we've talked about, you know, really kind of structuring the way we communicate, you know, and please don't hear, like, I never want parents to feel as though they can't still communicate naturally. Mm. Like, I'm not asking you to become some sort of, like, Christian parenting robot. But rather we give you these things to say, let's think about this. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe you look at, you don't look at me, but maybe you hear me and you say, hey, look, I'm still going to ask them, what'd you learn today? Cause the purpose of them going to school was to learn. Right. But you're right. I don't ask about their spiritual well-being. So I'm going to ask about that as well. Well, yeah, hey, any improvement in this way is going to help us. But I think one other way that is odd is, you know, it's a Tim Rose way of dealing with something. It is, let's also be direct here. We talked about this in like one of our first episodes together of setting goals as a family. It is perfectly not only acceptable, but encouraged for you to tell your kid, hey, this is what I want to see out of you as a senior. Mm-hmm. I won't speak badly on youth pastors who aren't like myself, because I've got a lot of issues. But I will say, if your youth pastor hasn't asked you a question like, hey, what are your goals? Here are my goals. You know, I was glad that none of my church members were at the conference, because if they had heard Brandon say our two goals at NEHBC were that we have a 1-to-5 ratio of students having 5 adults that have loved them and cared for them spiritually, and that they go on an international mission trip, all my people would have been sitting there going, oh, Tim's not even smart. He just copied.
Yeah.
Because that's exactly what I've given to First Odessa. Like, I have a goal for students. I know what I want them to look like. I know what I want them to be like. You as parents can have that goal, and it's okay to tell them, hey, this is what I'm looking forward to the most.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you have a seventh grader and you're sitting there, if you tell them, hey, you know what mom and dad are looking forward to the most? We are looking forward to see who you becoming as a man or a woman of God.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that stands out. And I know it's odd to say, and maybe, you know, I think part of it is that we've, even in the Christian culture, we've ran so much from talking like the Bible, from talking like Christians, because it feels odd, that it's almost created this culture of it's unusual to talk in this way.
Mm-hmm.
Like this sort of speech is almost reserved only for guys like you and I who are, you know, in ministry. But let me tell you, that could not be further from the truth. You looking at your kid and saying, I can't wait to see the spiritual person you're going to be, the spiritual young man, spiritual young woman you're going to be. I enjoy watching your walk with the Lord.
Yeah.
Like, it matters more. I think sometimes parents maybe think, oh, I'll wait and just tell them that at graduation.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, yeah, but then it almost doesn't seem real. Because
yeah.
I've seen that reaction. I don't know if you have, but I've seen that reaction between a parent and a kid where, like, the parent goes, I'm so proud of the man of God you are. And you can tell this guy's like, wait, you've been watching that?
Yeah.
Whereas it has so much more value if once every 3 months, once every 6 months, once every year, you sit down and you say, hey, I love the way that you've grown in these areas.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I love how God has changed you in these areas, and I want you to improve here. I can't wait to see what he does here. That has so much more meaning.
Yeah.
And so I know it's awkward, but, you know, it again, looking at Paul and looking at his letter to Corinth, that's an awkward letter.
Oh, my God.
Like, we read it, and we're like, oh, it's the Bible, and it, you know, it's got the whole behind it. But, like, if I'm sitting in the church in Corinth, I mean, I believe it's Paul's one of Paul's longest letters, if not the absolute longest.
Second longest. Yeah.
To it's full of all the dirty laundry.
Oh my god.
Like, I don't know how much of this they knew he knew, but he just clearly tells them all, like, oh, by the way, I know everything that you're doing. And I couldn't imagine sitting there, you know, knowing that they would have read this like in a church service. You're just sitting there going, oh my gosh. And knowing that not only would they have read that one, whatever other letters had circulated to them, they would have read the great account of the church in Ephesus.
Yes.
They would have read the phenomenal account to Timothy and the encouragement.
Foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Yes. So
and then
good.
And then you get, you know, the Corinthians, and they're just sitting there going, oh no,
Yes. This
is terrible. Like, I see it being very awkward what Paul does, but he does it fully out of love, and he does it for the purpose that, hey, they would be reminded of the gospel so that they could be more like the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, that's what we're doing here.
Mm-hmm.
Man, we are trying to get our kids to know more of who Jesus is, to be more obsessed with him, and to go and talk about him more often.
Yeah.
And that means that we got to be awkward sometimes. We got to say some Christianese things. But a parent looking at their kid saying, I'm so proud of the way you've grown in your prayer life.
Yeah.
Will stand out far more than dads, and I'm calling dads out here because moms just cry during the whole thing. Dad, your speech that you thought about for 30 minutes about how you looked back and you only see three things in your son's spiritual walk, that speech means nothing.
Mm-hmm.
When you point out three things to him every month or every 2 months or every 3 months that you notice and that you're proud of, that means the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, my encouragement would be just, man, be direct. Be willing to say it.
Yep.
Be willing to say it often. Because, again, if you're sitting there and you're saying, I'm not going to ask it first,
yeah,
but I will add this to the repertoire of things that I ask about their day.
Mm-hmm.
And then you additionally go, and I'm going to tell them what makes me proud about their spiritual walk.
Yeah.
Then I guarantee you, when I ask your kid, hey, your senior year, what makes your parents the happiest about you? They'll look at me and they'll go, well, my walk with Christ.
Yep.
Because it'll be the thing that's most talked about and it'll be the only thing emphasized.
Yeah.
And ultimately, like, that's the encouragement today. It is what we want for you as parents is we want you to make sure that the most important thing is truly the most important thing.
Yeah.
It's Matt and I have both preached sermons. I'm sure of this. Matt, you can correct me if you're a better preacher than I am. You probably are. But I have preached a sermon before where I looked back at the sermon and thought about it as I was going to bed and went, I buried the headline.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the main point, I forgot to come back to it. I screwed something up. And it was funny, like, having Mary as a wife who's listened to it, I'll ask her, like, what do you think the main point is? And she'll have gotten it wrong. And I'll go, oh. Because you're like, okay, well then, none of this worked the way it was supposed to work.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I screwed that up.
Yeah.
Parents, we don't want you to bury the headline.
Mm.
We don't want you to miss the point.
Yeah.
I think I've never met a parent, especially not a parent who listens to Tuning the Bow. I've never met a parent who just said, I don't care about my son's spiritual walk.
Right.
I've never met a parent who on graduation, like the answers that I got, multiple of them from students were like, that I would graduate. That was what they said would make their parents the happiest. Never once seen a parent during graduation, after graduation, look at their kid, give them a hug and say, I'm just so glad you graduated.
Yeah.
I've heard it jokingly, but never real.
Mm-hmm.
It's always, man, I'm proud of the person that you are.
Yeah.
And we want that person in Christ to be what's most important. And we want that to be communicated
mm-hmm.
as most important.
Yeah. And kind of an example that I want to give is really three people in particular. The first person is my mom.
And Matt's mom!
Yeah. And the second person is my little brother. And the third person is the former youth minister at First Baptist Dallas, Ben Hill. And kind of the reason is, for one thing, what Ben Hill did at First Baptist Texarkana was absolutely incredible. Getting adults to have discipleship, mentorship, relationships with the students and push that. And also the things that my mother, I know, was teaching my little brother. All of that kind of comes together to kind of what I want to talk about and how my little brother, who's a senior this year, he was at a gas station. And he had a homeless person come up to him and ask him, he's like, hey, do you have any money? And my little brother was like, I'm sorry, I can't really give you anything. Do you mind if I pray for you? And it's that idea that my little brother couldn't offer anything except prayer. And at times we kind of underplay prayer in that moment. But let me also tell you something. I wouldn't do that. It's just kind of how it is that my little brother is living out his faith in a much greater way, especially how I was at his age. And that's all kind of part and parcel to what my mom has done and what Ben Hill did and has kind of carried on through now at First Baptist Texarkana. All these different things came together because all these people told my little brother, this is what is important, that you live out your faith at all times. And, you know, no one expects to, you know, do something like that at a gas station. And that's exactly what my little brother did. And it's just things like that, man, that's really what this is about. It's pushing the idea of living out your faith even when no one's looking. That is what is deemed as a success, more than just graduating, more than just making it through something. And that's also something that has been taught by my mom and stepdad, that these things are good and these things are profitable for you for the rest of your life. And it's just that idea that we need to love the Lord you know, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind and all your strength. Every part of you needs to be loving the Lord. That was what my mom put out and taught for my little brother. That's what he learned at church, and that's what he is living out. So it all plays together. Tim, resource. We need to give out a resource. So what resource do you have?
Yeah, I do have a resource for today. That resource is Gospel-Centered Family by Tim Chester. And this particular book is going to kind of walk you through numerous different parts of how the gospel can, well, become the center of your family, and how it's going to impact your prayer life with your kids. It's going to impact your evangelism, missions, all those things. And so that is, like I said, Gospel-Centered Family by Tim Chester. And it's going to really flesh out how to make sure that not only we're talking about what's important, but then we're making sure to flesh out what's important, how it impacts every area of life. And it's not just that, you know, we don't want to make awesome prayer warriors who never want to share their faith.
Right.
And we don't want to make you know, evangelists who don't understand the power of prayer. Mm-hmm. We want our kiddos to be fully, you know, I'm going to make a weird reference here.
Please do.
You can cut it if you need to. We want our kids to, as in backyard baseball, be the Pablo Sanchez
of
Christianity. Pablo always was like the top in every category, the first pick always.
Yeah.
I just dated myself a lot right there.
All good, man.
But we want them to understand worship. We want them to understand Bible reading and scripture memorization and evangelism and prayer. And so this is going to walk through all of those. So
I'll go ahead and draw out a resource. I think we need to kind of set a priority in our homes. And if you aren't doing this already, then you can do a devotional. And I would like to suggest Oswald Chambers' My Utmost for His Highest. It's written in a little bit higher English, a lot more formal. But the truths that it brings out is they're really good. And what we need to do is we need to set aside time at, you know, the breakfast table, while we're driving, the different ways that we can do that. Now, okay, please don't do a devotional while you drive.
Please don't. Also, don't read and pray with your eyes closed.
If you can read while you drive, that'd be pretty impressive.
I clearly can't do any of them. I can't even say it.
You can't even speak. But it is that idea that we've talked about before, that you want to maximize your time, and summer is almost here, and you can start kind of that trend of doing a devotional now, and then when school year starts up next August, and we can, you know, already have that moving forward into it. And so just kind of go ahead and set that trend. So the devotional is Oswald Chambers' My Utmost for His Highest. Well, that's all I have. Tim, do you have any last thoughts?
No, I mean, you know, as always, I just encourage you parents. I think most of this is one of those, like, the knowledge of it almost moves more than anything practical.
Yeah.
And the knowledge to give you is this, like, the numbers that I report to you are exactly what Dr. Ross sees all across the country.
Mm-hmm.
So no offense, you're probably not the exception.
Yeah.
There is a reason there's a rule. And so that being said, my encouragement is just as much as humanly possible, make sure to put what's most important at the forefront of your speech, at the forefront of your family, and make sure it truly is the most important. So, Matt, do you have any last words of wisdom?
You know, sometimes you just got to get her done.
Get her done. Get her done.
All right. Well, that's all the time we have for this episode. Thank you for listening, and we will see you all next week. Bye, everybody.